I trust you've impressed your men with the necessity of showing these heretics sufficient firmness, Captain Kerman?
Of course I have, Father,
Thomas Kerman replied, and turned to look Father Stiven in the eye. He would have preferred avoiding that particular necessity, but the intendant was one of those inquisitors with near total confidence in his ability to read the truth in other men's eyes, which made it most unwise to appear as if one were attempting to refuse him that opportunity. Father Stiven Gravier gazed into Kerman's eyes intensely, as if he'd just read the captain's mind.
"Which I certainly hope he hasn't," Kerman thought, given that Sir Vic's instructions were almost exactly the reverse of his.
"Good, Captain," Gravier said after a moment. "Good." The intendant turned away once more, gazing out from the dense black shadows of the warehouse. There was very little to see, yet, and the upper priest inhaled audibly.
"I realize," he said, almost as if he were speaking to himself, that not everyone truly realizes the danger of the precipice upon which we all stand. Even some members of the episcopate don't seem to fully recognize what's happening.
That, Kerman thought, is almost certainly a reference to Bishop Ernest.
The reflection didn't make him particularly happy.
I suppose it's hard to blame them, Gravier continued. All men want to believe in the goodness of other men, and no one wants to believe mere mortals could overset God's own plan for man's eternal well-being. But even the archangels, he touched his heart, then his lips, discovered to their sorrow that sin can destroy any goodness, can corrupt even an archangel herself. These Carisians, he shook his head slowly, have set their hand to Shan Wei's own work. And, like their eternally cursed mistress, they've begun by mouthing pious concerns that cloak their true purpose.
Kerman watched the intendant's back, listening to the deep-seated anger, the frustration in the other man's voice.
Any man, even the Grand Vicar himself, is only mortal, Gravier said. That's what makes their accusation so damnably convincing to those of weaker faith. Yet whatever His Holiness's mortal frailties in his own person, when he speaks as Langhorne Steward, he speaks with the infallibility of God himself. There may be imperfections among the vicarate. There may be isolated instances of genuine corruption among the priesthood. That's one of the things the Office of Inquisition was commissioned by the Archangel Schuler to root out and punish, after all, and the Inquisition's tasks will never be completely accomplished, however zealously we strive. But when sinful men challenge the primacy of God's own church, however carefully they may couch their challenge in seeming reason, it's Shan Wei's work, not Langhorne's, to which they've set their hands. And, he wheeled once more, half glaring through the darkness at Kerman, they must be stopped. Shan Wei's poison must be cut out of the body of the faithful as a surgeon cuts away a diseased limb, purged with fire and the sword. Kerman wished he had the courage to ask the intendant whether or not the bishop had authorized his presence here this night, or, for that matter, if Bishop Ernest even knew where Gravier was. But he dared not, any more than he dared to question Gravier when the intendant turned up with a dozen of his fellow Schulerites to be assigned to the various troop detachments detailed to tonight's operation.
And for all I know, he's completely right about what's happening in Caris, what it means for the rest of us. I'm only a soldier. What do I know about God's will, about the Grand Vicar's infallibility? What the Carisians say sounds reasonable, given what they say the Knights of the Templelands really meant to happen to them, and why. But how do I know they're the ones telling the truth when Mother Church herself insists their charges are all lies? Father Stiven's right about at least one thing, after all. They don't call Shan Wei Mother of Lies for nothing.
Father, he said finally, I'm a soldier, not a priest. I'll do my best to follow my orders, but if it's all the same to you, I'll leave decisions about doctrine and theology to those better suited and trained to make them.
That's exactly what you ought to do, Captain. Gravier's voice was warmer, more approving than anything Kerman had heard from him so far. Then the intendant turned back to look out into the night, nodding his head.
Exactly what you ought to do, he repeated softly.